Time for a political party where we invite a wide range of people to hear what they've got to say about what's going on. Let's meet tonight's guests, Justin Gimelstob, a former tennis pro who's now a commentator on the Tennis Channel and a hero of mine for his great comebacks at the U.S. Open, and Kurt Loder, who is the former Rolling Stone MTV icon who co-wrote Tina Turner's autobiography, currently reviewing movies for Reason.com.
And we have over here Cara Santamaria, who is a neuroscientist specializing in birdsong, who also sings jazz to herself. And we have Maz Jobrani, who is a comedian who helped start the Axis of Evil Comedy Hour. All right, welcome everybody, and thanks for coming.
Thank you. All right, I wanted to find out what neuroscience is all about. Anyway, today, after being hammered here and abroad, President Obama sought refuge in the one place he can still get a hero's welcome. He turned up in Afghanistan. Actually, let's take some footage and see what it looked like when the president visited with our troops. Let's take a look. Wait a minute. All right, I'm sorry. This is just a bad joke. That was when LeBron James went back to Cleveland. But I guess he kind of showed them, didn't he, when he scored 38 points. They won by some huge margin. All right, good to know, of course, the president got a huge ovation, as he should, and any president will and should, from the troops. There's some actual footage of it. All right, but what was up with the president's trip? Was he just running away from the bad news here? What do you think?
Well, unlike LeBron, it's nice that the president understands loyalty. And while the physical presence in Afghanistan is decreasing, it's nice that the soldiers know they have tremendous support from the president.
Right. Good to see him taking ownership of America's longest war. I'm glad he's, like, hugging that to him.
Well, it's our longest war almost because of him at this point. I mean,
yes, he is the one who has
continued it when there was some fair debate about that.
All right, back in Washington.
Oh, come on, please.
The start.
Do we have to?
Tax cut fights. The START treaty, it's clear that the Republicans can still stonewall. The Democrats seem to be in a mode of appeasement. You know, what's going on here? Do you have any special, you all come from very different backgrounds. Do you have any special recommendations?
Are we not all happy that there's gridlock in Washington? When there's gridlock, they can't do as much.
Why is that a good thing?
It's a good thing. as we see for the last 2 years, instead of getting stuff rammed down your throat, somebody should stand up and say no. That was the same when the Republicans ran Congress,
too. Well, are you a libertarian,
too?
No government is good government,
right? I'd like to see progress in Washington. I would like to see progress.
But is it progress when they're just, jamming bills down people's throats and don't even read them?
They got to learn to compromise. That's the thing. Aren't any of these people married? Like, I'm married. You learn to compromise, you know? You want to see Tranche, you want to see burlesque, you go see burlesque.
But you know what? I'm going to take a different perspective. Maybe it's time for the president to be tougher and not compromise. Draw some lines in the sand and say, you know what? You know, in Afghanistan, I don't think we should still be there. When it comes to tax policy, I'm going to defend the middle class. We're not going to give tax cuts to those who are extraordinarily wealthy. I would like to see a firmer, bolder, more assertive, determined president who stands for principle and doesn't always feel compelled to put the first card on the table to cave.
Well, I completely agree.
It's not just the president, though. It's also the Democrats in Congress who need to step up and go, all right, we're going to stick to our guns and
grow them. Yeah.
They've had two years of doing that. What happened?
They haven't done it. You're right.
There's no doubt that trust and compromise are the cornerstone, but there's nothing tougher than finding consensus.
My real question is, when the left is constantly trying to compromise and the right is constantly stonewalling, what you see is that meeting in the middle gets pushed farther and farther and farther to the right.
They move the goalposts, and you know what? The left and those who are even in the center need a lesson in negotiating strategy. But anyway, look, we'll be right back with more of our political party.
Well, welcome back. We've got time for just one more question. Yesterday, Congressman Charlie Rangel was censured, the first one to be censured in 27 years. Whom would you like to censure?
Well, I'd like to see him shown the door. I mean, censure means nothing. Somebody says aloud, "You've been bad." That's all. It's the only thing that happens.
I mean, it doesn't happen that often.
This guy's a tax dodger.
Put him aside. Who else in the world do you think deserves?
Any athlete that speaks in the third person.
I think Timothy Geithner deserves it.
It's coming from an athlete.
Yeah, you've got some.
Any athlete that speaks in the third person.
He's a tax cheat, too.
I'd go after Ann Coulter because she said that Muslims should be profiled at the airport.
I am on your side.
I like your profile, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Do that again.
The Muslims should be profiled at the airport. The fact is, because she said that was her solution to the TSA problem. And the fact is, first of all, if you're going to try and blow something up, you're not going to dress up in Muslim garb and try and get through, number one. And number two, we've already had a lot of people that didn't fit the profile that were trying to do stuff, Jihad Jane and all the others. So I heard that, and I thought she's dumb.
The darkest moments in our nation's history come from that sort of thinking.
I would like to see John Shimkus censured. If we're actually talking about somebody who's in Congress, and here it's not about an ethics violation, it's about ignorance to the position that you're in, and it really scares me that this man, and I'm bringing up a completely different point here, wants to head an energy committee when he is citing Genesis as to why global warming is not going to affect us in this country.
I think it may be the case that virtually all the incoming Republican members of Congress have disavowed a belief in global warming.
They've disavowed a belief in science. This is what scares me. I don't think this is a false debate. Yeah. I don't think it's always fair to give equal footing to a religious opinion versus a science opinion on a scientific topic.
You didn't read about that on the eighth day, God said, let there be no global warming.
You're not going to be flying back to L.A. privately, are you?
Are you driving back in a Prius?
But you have your offsets, right?
But, you know, it really does. I mean, it just bothers me when somebody wants to be in that situation and isn't willing to look at the actual evidence.
The global warming industry is collapsing of its own accord.
Here we disagree. There is scientific agreement. This is a real problem.
Among scientists who are funded by the...
We had on our program a couple weeks ago one of the big greatest doubters, one of the scientists who had been a doubter, who has now come around and said, no, it's a real problem. The only question is how you begin to confront it.
Bjorn Borg. His idea is a little more nuanced than that. I said, there is a problem, it is happening, it's not necessarily the end of the world right now. Right. There are better things we could do.
Maz, what's the funny Muslim position on this?
The funny Muslim position on it is take the attention off the Muslims, whatever you want to talk about. It wasn't us.
One thing you can't blame us for.
Please.
Jews feel that way too sometimes.
Okay, Muz Gibrani, Kurt Loder, Kara Santamaria, and Justin Gimelstob. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Great party. Come back.
Thanks.